Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2487, with a release date of Friday, June 27th, 2025. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A mobile cellular service provider applies to use ham radio frequencies for its satellites. Logbook of the World goes offline for upgrades, and mystery signals are heard from the great beyond. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2487 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us this week to Washington, D.C., where the Federal Communications Commission has received a request from the 5G broadband service provider AST SpaceMobile to modify its license so that it can transmit on the portion of the 70-centimeter band used by amateur radio. The Texas-based company is seeking the frequencies between 430 and 440 megahertz for telemetry, tracking, and telecommand between ground stations and its satellites. At the same time, the company is seeking FCC approval for its operation of 248 low-Earth orbit non-geostationary satellites. It is presently licensed for 5. The company's request to use the 70-centimeter band is not insignificant. In 2023, the German regulator BNetzA ordered AST SpaceMobile to shut its operations when in the range of the country, citing harmful interference that violated ITU regulations. In March of 2024, the company said it had updated its constellation's filings with the ITU and the FCC. It also reduced some of its power levels and changed the heights of its orbits, according to the Advanced Television website. AST SpaceMobile is a rival of SpaceX, which operates the Starlink satellite constellation, which is testing direct-to-cell with T-Mobile. Earlier this year, AT&T and AST SpaceMobile received FCC permission to test direct-to-cellular satellite connectivity. Public comments are due by July 21st. For a link to the filing, see the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. The ARRL has been busy with much more than Field Day. In fact, just as Field Day gets underway, Logbook of the World will be moving to a cloud computing platform and getting some technical upgrades. Jack Parker, W8ISH, has those details.
Just as hams were making their final preparations for ARRL Field Day here in the U.S. and in Canada, the ARRL was scheduling downtime for Logbook of the World beginning on June 27th. The ARRL called the process part of the, quote, ongoing modernization of the ARRL system's infrastructure, unquote. When completed, the system is to be fully operational on the cloud. The ARRL said the move will ensure that users are protected from physical and network-based security risks. The last major service disruption for LOTW was last year, when it was one of several ARRL services that were compromised by a ransomware attack. The ARRL announced its return to service not quite 2 months later, on July 1st. In making the announcement of this year's upgrade, CEO David Minster, NA2AA, said on the ARRL website that LOTW would return to full online operations on the 2nd of July, or sooner if possible. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The paint that BMW used 6 years ago on one of its cars as an experiment is now being looked at as a way to reduce light pollution from satellites that has been plaguing radio astronomers. Randy Sly, W4XJ, has the details.
What is blacker than black? It's the super black paint known as Vantablack. And its creator, Surrey Nanosystems, designed it to absorb 98% of light. BMW tested it out on one of its crossover Model X6 cars just as an experiment in 2019. According to Space.com, the paint reflects only 2% of visible and infrared light. Now AMSAT UK is preparing to launch Vanta Black on its Jovian 1 CubeSat mission to test its ability to avoid interference with space telescopes. The Jovian 1 goes into space sometime next year. Attendees at this year's AMSAT UK colloquium in October can expect to learn more about this adventure in light pollution reduction. Meanwhile, if things work out, Vanta Black might provide a solution for the private satellite constellations that researchers say have been interfering with ground-based astronomical research. As more satellites are being sent into space, that's not insignificant to observatories here on the ground. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Scientists in China are claiming that they have achieved unprecedented speed in sending data from satellites using low-power lasers. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, has that story.
In a development that some observers say could someday replace satellites' reliance on RF, scientists in China are claiming that they have developed a transmission method using minimal laser power. The method is known as AOMDR Synergy and utilizes a 2-watt laser. Scientists at a Peking University and the Chinese Academy of Sciences have said that by employing this technique, they recently accomplished a 1 gigabit per second data transmission to Earth from a geostationary satellite. Researchers praised the development, adding that it addresses a common challenge for satellite downlinks: the distortion caused by atmospheric turbulence. The developers of the process said that AOMDR addresses this by stabilizing the laser signal even when it faces atmospheric turbulence. The technique combines adaptive optics and mode diversity reception. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
Scientists on the frozen Antarctic continent got a good warm feeling listening to the shortwave radio recently. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us why.
The shortwave broadcast wasn't aiming for big global listenership. Indeed, there were perhaps only a few dozen pairs of ears for whom this special program was intended. Still, the BBC's Antarctic midwinter broadcast is a shortwave tradition down under. This year, its 70th anniversary year was no different. Scientists and support staff of the British Antarctic Survey team were tuned in on the 21st of June to hear welcoming messages from home, including a pre-recorded greeting from King Charles, the first monarch to participate in the tradition. The show only lasted a half hour, but has been a big part of a midwinter at British research stations on the frozen continent for decades. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Here in the U.S., the Youth on the Air America's Camp has just wrapped up in suburban Denver, Colorado. Soon, it will be France's turn to host eager young amateurs. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
Youngsters on the Air, also known this year as YOTA France, is getting ready for its 13th edition. The camp will be taking place at the Château de Jeanville near Paris from the 18th to the 25th of August, and is being hosted by the French National Amateur Radio Society, Réseau des Émetteurs Français, or REF. Although the camp serves primarily youngsters from throughout the IARU Region 1, guest campers will be welcomed from Regions 2 and 3. About 100 young amateurs attend these camps each year, participating as teams representing their countries. Previous YOTA summer camps have been held in such countries as Czechia, Hungary, Croatia, Bulgaria, South Africa, and Great Britain. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the CQ0URAS UHF and CQ0ERAS VHF repeaters in Portugal on Saturdays and Sundays at 12 noon local time. In Sweden, the Grimeton radio station is marking its jubilee year in the most appropriate way possible. Can you guess how? Well, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has some answers.
The jubilee year for the Grimeton radio station in Sweden is well underway, having begun last December. The highest point of the year, however, will come on the 2nd of July, the exact date 100 years ago when the station's 200-kilowatt alternator sent a message across the Atlantic Ocean for receipt by the US President Calvin Coolidge. The message reached the receiving station in Riverhead, New York, on Long Island, and the president sent a reply praising the new broadcaster and sharing his hopes for good relations between Sweden and the US. The 2nd of July is nearly here, and the 100-year anniversary of that historic message is being celebrated with a telegram to be transmitted from the station using CW on 17.2 kHz at 0900 UTC. The station will be using the original call sign SAQ. The broadcast can be heard on a receiver with VLF capability and will also be streamed live on YouTube. Meanwhile, hams wishing to make contact with the amateur radio station SK6SAQ in CW or SSB should be listening on 80, 40 and 20 metres. Details are available at alexander.n.se. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Just a reminder that the popular 13 Colonies special event runs from the 1st of July through to the 8th, UTC. Certificates are available at all levels of achievement. Shortwave listeners and hunters outside the U.S. are welcome. Operators will be using all modes on all HF bands except for 60 meters. Be listening as well on 2 and 6 meters. See the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. Being a soda activator has given one ham in Australia much more than memorable QSOs, spectacular summit views, and some outdoor adventures. It has provided him with some life-saving skills, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2, LAW.
As record-breaking fires consumed huge sections of the Canadian province of Alberta, Wade Smith, VK1MIC, was preparing for an activation that would take him into the heart of the destruction. As captain of the Communications Brigade in the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, Wade responded to Canada's request by travelling from Sydney with the Australian contingent. Wade added his specialised skills in air radio and dispatch to assist the joint Australian-Albertan Incident Management Team, operating in the remote northern region of Alberta. Facing the challenge of several large fires raging, Wade and his team handled more than 500 calls daily. The firefighting effort mustered more than 20 aircraft involved in operations across several large fires. Wade, who is also the VK1 SOTA Association manager, said his years of SOTA experience have served as great practice for staying focused, handling several stations at once, and managing fast-moving communications pile-ups. He said, quote, "These same skills are directly transferable to coordinating air operations under pressure," end quote. The fires posed hazards on the ground locally as well, as for the air quality in much of North America. Weather experts attribute the conditions in the region to an ongoing trend of dry, warm conditions that have been worsened by the global climate crisis. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the world of DX, Laurent FM5BH will be on the air as J79BH from Dominica, IOTA number NA101, from the 25th through to the 29th of June. Listen for him on 80 through 10 meters, where he will operate CW and single sideband. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Harry, JG7PSJ, is using the call sign JD1BMH from Chichijima, IOTA number AS031. Ogasawara from the 26th of June through to the 4th of July. Harry is using CW, single sideband, and RTTY on 40 through 10 meters. See QRZ.com for details. Listen for the call sign KP4NET from VK's Island, also known as Isla Nena, IOTA number NA249. A team of operators will be on the air with that call sign on the 27th through to the 29th of June, mainly on 40, 20, and 10 meters, using single sideband and CW. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Chemo OH3DJP is operating holiday style as OH0OH3DJP from the Åland Islands, IOTA number EU002, until the 1st of July. Chemo is on various HF bands, also listen on 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. It's pretty well known that some scientists study outer space in search of extraterrestrial life, but what happens when researchers believe they have instead stumbled upon the afterlife? Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us what did and didn't really happen in this week's final story.
Rest in peace, NASA Relay 2 satellite. The spacecraft was one of two launched at different times in the 1960s by the U.S. Space Agency to serve as experimental communications satellites. Unlike NASA's Relay 1, which transmitted American TV signals to Japan and Europe, Relay 2 was used for barely a year. It stopped operations in 1965, and its transponders were believed to have died in 1967. The key word here is believed, because 1 year ago this month, researchers in Australia were certain they'd heard Relay 2 returning radio pulses to Earth, much the same way some so-called zombie satellites, like the famous AMSAT Oscar 7, have been known to do. In this case, no seances or Ouija boards were necessary to understand this message from the great beyond. Some scientists theorize the pulses came from the discharge of electrostatic energy, or ESD, that had built up on Relay 2 over time. Another theory is that its impact with a micrometeoroid released a cloud of plasma capable of sending such a signal. Researchers plan to study both ESD and the micrometeoroid effect in the hope of a better understanding in the future. It's not about alien life or afterlife, then. Just breathing new life into solving more mysteries of space. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A good QSO can be like poetry. Sometimes. So why not write a haiku about amateur radio and join the Newsline Haiku Challenge? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. We can only accept the correct haiku format, though. That is, a three-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Advanced Television, Alexanderson Association, Amateur News Daily, AMSAT, the ARRL, BBC, CBC, David Behar, K7DB, DX World, 425 DX Bulletin, the FCC, Interesting Engineering, Live Science, MSN, New Scientist, QRZ.com, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space.com, SWLing Post, Wade Smith, VK1MIC, the Wireless Institute of Australia, Nyota.com, Zero Retries Newsletter, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.